God bless our life. God bless us with our finance. And because He bless us with the ability to give and to bless, then we will be able to give it back to Him. It went on by itself. I don't think I make it so advanced that it's going to play even by himself. But God is good. It's just exciting when we talk about things like that in this just week past, and we have a lot more exciting things to share with every member. But right now, let's go back and focus on the message that God has for us as a body of believers. I have been praying and I've been seeking, and I have been tremendously blessed by this 40 days of journey that we call returning to holiness. Oh, what a study, what a collection of scriptures and reflections through the questions that that the author put together, and how much it has helped me, and how much it has helped many of you who have taken part of this, and even as you come and share and you enjoy these messages that I prepare from week to week. I mean, if we are believing in God, we really know who God is, we must take serious stands on our sins. It is for that reason that Christ Jesus came. It is for that reason that He came to that cross. That we human beings are sinful by nature. We each have sins, and yet His Son Jesus Christ came to this earth and died on that cross so that all of the sins of all of the mankind, of all the generations, of all over the world, of all nations, will be put on His back. And that He took care of it. You and I cannot be responsible for our sins. We cannot pay back enough. We cannot give an account to Christ Jesus or to our God and Father one day and say, I took care of the sin by myself. I paid it off. I deserve heaven. The entry to heaven is only permitted through our faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone, and I don't take the excuse of making that apology. Christ is the only one way, only truth, only light. But heaven is no place for saints. Heaven is no place for saints. But we can come to Him as we continue on this 40 days of study. We will come to find out and understand better on what are some of the things that we can learn. This is the third week into this study, and today we are going to focus on the speech. And I start with a story about President Nixon. President Richard Nixon, when he resigned from his presidencies in 1970s, and his White House tapes were released later on, and many people were astonished. They were shocked by the foul language, a foul language that even president spoke. In fact, there was a public shot at the even general tones of the languages and the foul languages that he used. Not only he, but the people in the Oval Office also spoke. Now, to take that point is not to degrade him in any way. I'm just saying that people from all walk of lives, from the very least to the more important people, speak foul languages. And yet God condemns speech that are sinful in terms of foul languages, the untruthful languages, the disagreeable languages, the things that are not honoring God. They are sins. In the recent year, especially in the society, we have seen an unexpected increase. Well, when I say unexpected, maybe it's not a good word. Maybe we should say unprecedented. The things that we just become natural or careless about the words that we use and the language that we speak. There is such an increasing and unprecedented rate. And if you look at the internet website, you are seeing all the obscene languages, and let's not talk about the pictures and all of the obscenity that the internet comes with it. It doesn't take you much to agree that the end time is coming closer and closer. While there may be some truth about the fact that people will say, oh, I chose to use the foul languages just because I have not grasped the good understanding of the English language, haven't learned all of the, you know, good English yet. There may be some truth about it. Or perhaps there are other excuses that we would use foul languages. And in a way, in some way, okay, and I was joking my wife, I said, in some way, some of the people in this congregation are blessed with the English being our second language because we haven't got to learn enough of the foul languages to speak. But we have our own mother tongues in which we spoke foul languages. And I knew I did when I was young. When I was growing up in my hometown, almost every single sentence that we finished with the foul words. And that's so unfortunate in the dialectic languages that is closed to the environment of the society. And a big part of our vocabularies were foul, were obscenes, were four-letter words, or some other words you don't want to know about. And people just take it so carelessly about the words that we use. Yet the Bible is clear in Matthew 12:36, that I tell you that man will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word that they have spoken. Boy, that's serious. Let's read that again. I hope that you make sure you got the point. But I tell you that man, that means all men, that means every living soul, regardless of what language you speak, what dialect you speak, which country you are from, you are a believer or you are a non-believer, men, that's all men, will have given account on the day of judgment. Now, everybody will face that day of judgment. There is no exception to the rule. Every single living soul will face our living Lord one day, on that day of judgment. And for what? For every careless word they have spoken. That is very serious. Let us go to the Lord with a word of prayer before we go any further. Father God, I thank you so much for today. And Lord, if we really understand that you are our Creator and that we are the creation, if we really know that you are real and that one day when we face you on that day of judgment, that we must give an account for every careless word that we've spoken, how much serious shall we look into the way we speak and what we speak and why we speak what we speak? Oh, I pray and ask that today you use this message to speak to us, believers and unbelievers alike, knowing that language is meant to bless, and that you take serious stance on the way even we handle language. Help us to understand it from the way that we know that we are sinful by nature and that we sin against you. We sin against you in many other ways, but certainly in this way that we address today, which is the speech or language that we use. And we come before you in law, and they say that if we have sinned against you, O Lord, we want to repent. When we come to you and ask for your forgiveness, and we know that you are holy and just, that you will forgive. But we must take a serious understanding of what you and your words have said against the speech that are not honoring you. And I just ask that, Lord, you bless this time of service and allow each of us to continue this time to study and understand your word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Speech is very important because it reveals what is in your heart. Speech is important because man's speech is like the mirror of our soul. Speech is important because it oftentimes even betrays the secret interest in our hearts. Huh? By the same token that we become careless in what we speak and we didn't take serious consideration of what it is, in a natural way, and sometimes we reveal secrets that are in our hearts even through our speech. And in Matthew 12:36, the scripture we just read a moment ago, two verses prior to that, address that very issue that speech did not come out just from our mouth, but indeed, it's a reflection of our hearts. In fact, the verse 30 says, 4 says, out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaks. And the speech reveals the sort of treasures that are stored in our hearts. And so the verse 35 continues and says that's exactly what that is that what we speak reflect what is in our hearts. There is no habit in which that we can become addicted to which can be more accurately reflect what is in our hearts than the speech that we speak, the language that we speak. And let me tell you that it is very interesting that if you just observe the way that people speak, oftentimes you can almost tell what they are. So, we ought to give a very serious consideration to the word and to the language that we speak. And today I'll give you 4 examples of careless word that is being talked about in this book. Okay, the Returning to Holiness. I'll tell you 4 examples of them, which also address the sins of the speech. There is one is foul language. There is another kind that is false testimony. And the third type is disagreeable speech. And the fourth type is fighting word. Okay, we will just look at these 4 examples of speech sin, which is addressed in this book as you go along and do your daily devotional. The foul languages, many people speak this same language or foul languages which are crude and inappropriate. It's just not right. It's just not appropriate as to what is it that we use. We use the words very coarsely. You use the terms that we learn and we have not given careful thought, and we keep talking about things that are right at the edge of acceptability, one at the edge of, you know, languages that we use are so nasty, dirty, however you want to put it, that term, that just does not please our ears at all. That's the first type, is the foul languages. Okay, some of the slangs that we use are not honoring God in any way. And in fact, there are some people that even take the name of God in vain and use it as a slang. I mean, how many of you have heard about people that were surprised by certain things and they exclaim, Jesus Christ, when they really don't know who Jesus Christ is? They really don't know who that is. Just use that word as a clamation. You know, people that were surprised by certain things that say, oh, Jesus! You know, when in reality, out of their hearts, there is no such belief or concept as to who the person Jesus is. But that's just in the language. You use it for reasons that you do not know. But how careful we need to be doing that, because even among the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, verse 7, it says very clearly, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misused his name." We can misuse God's names for many, many ways. And just in the speech, it's a small format. But there are many other ways we could have misused the Word of God and the name of God and be very, very careful about that. Because the Word of God is very clear that we shall not misuse His name or take His name in vain. There is yet another kind, and I'll go to the foul speech, because in this word it says, "Nor shall there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." How many of us sometimes are involved in some of this coarse joking or off-the-color jokings and other things that we have not taken serious consideration, and we are involved in the foolish talk, the things that are not building up ourselves or the body of Christ. Like I said, some would excuse and say, "Oh, that is because of the carelessness," because we sometimes don't give a careful consideration to the word that we speak. And here is just an example of some of the things that I learned from this congregation. In the past, when I began to get involved in the ministry, and sometimes when I was approached by someone to say, "Okay, do you want to be involved in this area of service, or do you want to be involved in this ministry? You know, because we got excited, and there are things going on we want you to be a part of." And at first, my tendency is often to say yes or no, right? "Oh, yes, I want to be involved," or "No, don't want to be involved." But I was taught by a person that has really helped me a great deal. He said, sometimes you don't need to hurry to say no. All you need to say, just let me pray about it. If you prayed about it, you go back home and you say, "Okay, should I be involved in this service? Yes, no, no, maybe no." Okay, then you call back and say, "I prayed about it, I thought about it, and I felt that I shouldn't be engaged in that." Sometimes we hurry to just say, "Oh, no." And the people that have worked so hard in the ministry, getting all the things lined up, and getting excited and want your involvement, and say, "No." There's nothing wrong with that. It just discouraged people. And the carelessness sometimes could destroy our relationship with certain people just because we didn't think about it. It's not because we meant to hurt them in any way. Because when we are talking about foul languages and we talk about excuses of carelessness, that we tend to behave which cause us to speak foul languages, but there are other languages we speak that are not foul in any way, that are not hurting in any way, that are not bad in any way, but with the same carelessness, that language that we use could have an impact. It's not that the language is not precise enough to communicate the precise idea we want to convey to the other people. Oftentimes it's because that we take so careless attitude towards the words that we use or the context that we use that causes us to miscommunicate, if you will. In other words, that we as speaker, the one that want to relate information, sometimes do not take a careful thinking about the word you say. We do not take the hearer in mind. We just speak what we want. Okay? And we're careless about the hearer in mind. And so the words that we use when we take the careless approach in using our language can be discouraging and can sometimes even affect the relationship between the people. And when sometimes, that's another example, when sometimes we do a good job and we are happy and we are great and we are just feeling good, in the context of a church service, it is very good that we say, just praise the Lord for the way that He has done. And that's another thing I learned again from another person by observing how they speak. I felt like it's such a great way to praise the name of God and at the same time acknowledging the good work that was done. Rather than taking it on the human way of seeking and understanding the good work that was done. The second thing that I do want to cover is about false testimony. And again, the Bible is very clear on this. In fact, it's in one of the Ten Commandments, and again here, that you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. In the other scripture in the Bible, it says, just do not lie to each other. That's as plain, as simple as that. Do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices. In other words, when we become a believer, we do not lie anymore. We can't lie anymore. The old self is dead. And we must be truthful to the Word of God and take serious considerations to what we speak. We shall not lie to each other. We shall not lie to our neighbors. We shall not bear false testimony. It's interesting, time that we talk about Friday night, one of the girls asked in the Bible study and say, you know, why you Christians want to go out and do all so many good deeds? You know, you try to discipline your life so well so that other people see you behave and in order that you get eternal life. And I corrected her by saying, actually, none of us can do good enough to earn the entry into heaven. It isn't because that I wanted to go to the heaven that I do the good works. It isn't because that I want to go to heaven that I now speak truth. But it's because of my relationship with my living Lord, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Believing in whom that I let the old self go and I take on the new self. And the new self is not me anymore, but the Spirit working in me, causing me to do what He likes to do. Then the entry into heaven is already given at the time when we accept Christ Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Some of these discussions can help you really understand what the Bible says a lot better. I was learning from her. Like, you and I, we can learn from each other when we go to a Bible study together on the Sunday schools or on home Bible study or any other groups where you relate to each other, not just in this context where you hear and speak, which is good, the message from the Lord and the message that I take serious consideration in. I worked until 11 o'clock yesterday on this message. I really praise the Lord for how He has enabled me to do what He wants us to know. But at the same time, we cannot neglect the importance of relating to one another on the Word of God in the person-to-person interactive way. But that was anyway, it's a good thing that she asked me that question, is why do you do all of this in order to gain entrance to heaven? And in fact, we cannot do enough. We cannot do good to go into heaven. Let's go back and focus on this. There is another word that then talk about when we say false testimony. Do we mean just lie, meaning anything that is exactly opposite the facts, then we become lying? There are some times that the word of untruthfulness or things that are being untruthful, there are things that we can say and that we can do that did not end up fulfilling, that could be a lie as well. In other words, you say you want to do something and you do not end up doing it. It's a lie, it's a contradiction of what you say, what you intend to do with your heart. Another word that I come into this culture, I learned is about the partial truth as being no truth. For example, is that okay, when you go to court, you must tell the whole truth. You cannot tell just the part of the truth, you know. And when you're telling part of the truth, you are telling the truth, but you are lying because you didn't tell the whole truth. Because you tell only part of the truth that may be good to you, that may not be negative about what is going on with your life. And you tell only the part of the truth that you want to share, when the other part of the also truth is what is going to bring up everything to the facts, the whole facts. So partial truth is non-truthful. So much on that false testimony. There are things that these questions that were being raised in this book is just so convicting and so good. It says, do you frequently fall short in things you said you would do? Are you categorized by giving partial truth and not whole truth? Are you careful to follow through with promises, vows, commitments you made to God and others? Is your word your bond, or are you somewhat unreliable? All of these questions are brought up in that book that as I read, it was so convicting to me. So convicting to you, I hope, as you read through that book. And so convicting to you, I hope, as you hear this message, that we take the word of God seriously and we think through and meditate on some of these questions that are so valuable in helping us better understand the word. Let's go on to the third. Disagreeable speech. That's another type of careless words we so often give. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:10, and do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angels. All too often we gripe, we complain, we disagree on certain circumstances or situations in our lives, and we fail to give thanks in all things and in all circumstances, which is what the Bible says. We must give thanks in all circumstances. When we should be filled with an attitude of gratitude, when we really should take on the attitude of saying, God, I don't know why things happen the way that it is, but I trust that you are in control and I'm giving you thanks regardless in any circumstances. You know, so oftentimes we become grumbling, we become complaining, we become discouraged, we become ungrateful to what God is doing in our midst, in the weight of our life. And even in that, we sometimes feel like, okay, I got good enough reason to complain and to grumble, but the Bible in the other scripture says very clearly that we must get rid of all of the bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Or malice, how to say that? Malice. Thank you. And I look at that verse and I just highlight those that are rage, anger, slander, and malice. And I think of a way to put them together that I call alms. In another word, if you recall in the other section of the Bible, there is talking about the armor of God, that we should put on the armor of God to fight against and win the spiritual war. And I look at this and I say, okay, I can make this into an arms. And instead, our tendency is to put on, we should put on the armor of God, as Ephesians 6:10 through 20 says clearly. But so oftentimes we will carry on the wrong arms or the wrong weapon. I see it. What are they? As it says just now, anger. And anger is something that builds within us, that it usually comes because we are frustrated, that we are not getting our way about something, and people didn't respond the way we expected. So we are angry. And this anger begins to boil within us and eat away our defenses. That's why the scripture was clear about the things to stay away is anger, because the anger will develop then into the rage, which is the boiling over of the anger. You first develop into anger, and then it seems like, oh, you see it mostly in the quick-tempered people, but in fact, in the not good-tempered people, when they have anger in them, and anger is when we lose the control, and then anger becomes something that with rage will become the anger that we'll be spewing out. And it always leaves casualty in its wake. When you're enraged, we don't just be enraged in here, we sometimes enrage in a husband and wife relationship. You think about that in our friendship, in your relationship with the co-workers, in many other circumstances, people can develop from anger to rage. And the malice. Malice is the bitterness that seeks to hurt another. Now that's a purposeful engagement. It is malice that causes us to say hurtful things, and it is malice that leads us to a viciousness of mind. It is what causes us to then act self-appointed judge, wanted to get everybody straight. That's when the malice comes in. And then with that, then you become to have slander. All of this developed. Slander follows you. This is hurtful speech that defames a person's character, and it is often speaking hurtful or distorted truth to make another person look bad. So instead of us putting on the spiritual armor of God in all that we say and all that we do, sometimes our human tendency is to cause us to carry on these wrong arms or wrong weapon in the things we do. And so we mustn't stay away from that. We must stay away from that because of the next category of sinful speech that we will look at. It's the fighting words. Because without these wrong arms, it's difficult for us to fight with each other, either between believers or between believers and unbelievers. And certainly in this world, there are enough fighting words that you can know about in the society. But we must not be like them. Like Karen says, the reason that we distinguish ourselves from all the people in the world is because we love. And Christ says, how do the people tell if you are my disciple? Is it because of your knowledge on the Bible? Is it because of your social status? Is it because of your relationship to a certain individual? No. It's because of the love. That's how people tell us if you are a disciple of mine. And Jesus Christ was very clear on that. And yet, when we don't do that, then there comes all kind of fighting words. And in this book in particular, on this fourth session that this book address, it's the fighting words that are among the Christian groups, and especially believers, against the leaders. And it's not uncommon for you to see it in churches, unfortunately. But have you been critical or slanderous of Christian leaders? Do you fail to respect and honor those called to lead the church? Do you undermine their authority? Do you tend to pick them apart rather than give consistent encouragements and prayer support? Now, these are serious questions that we must ask ourselves and be thinking it through. These are serious questions that we must take into consideration as we reflect on this word, which in 1 Timothy 5:17, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. Now, you may be looking at these words and so you're saying to yourself, no, it's not just me as your pastor, but as many leaders in the church that are preaching and teaching, not just pastor of this church, but pastors of other churches. Anyone that is called into the office to preach and to teach the Word of God deserves honor, not because of what they do, but because of what they are. We must rid of ourselves all of the malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy and slander of every kind. This is in 1 Peter 2:1. Not just one kind or two kinds, not just one word or two words, but any words, any speech that are of malice, then all deceit, hypocrisy, envy and slander of every kind. We must rid them off in order for our life to honor Christ. A quick review. It is important that we must find ways to make our speech reflect the spirit of Christ. If what we speak does not build up the body of Christ, does not build up the life of another individual, if what we speak does not reflect the spirit of Christ, then stay away from it. You need to stay away from malicious and hurtful speech that often we purposely engage in, or at times we carelessly engage in. We must stay away from that. Let's review these four examples of careless words or the things of speech. Foul languages, obviously, there are all kinds of them, and I listed all of them in here. But there are so many of them that we easily get involved in, either by choice or because of carelessness. Their second type, which is the false testimony, the untruthful, the lying lips, the exaggerations, the misleading, the broken vows, the deceiving words, the white lies. Oh, that is big. White lies. But cheating words and some of the rumors, all of this bears false testimony, and we must stay away from that. Disagreeable speech, for example. Disagreeable speech, murmuring, grumbling, complaining, grasping, irritable, unkind, impatient, contentious speech. Have we been engaged in any one of those categories? How careful, how serious we must take in the way of attitude towards this. We must stay away from this type of words. Fighting words, for example, the bitterness, angry, wrathful, clamor, evil speech, malicious, bickering, argumentative, all kind of words that we can so easily get involved and not knowing the seriousness of sin that we involved ourselves in. White lie is like something that is not really telling the truth. I think Karen King probably can have a better determination on that. Can you share it? Huh? It's as simple as lie. But the reason that it says white lie is the intention of the speaker. That I'm going to tell these things, but it's for the goodwill. It's good intention that I tell a lie. Okay, let me give you a typical example. Now, this is my good friend, so it's nothing against him, okay? So I'm not going to name the person, just for the purpose of this. But he was going to celebrate a birthday, and he invited all his friends to come over his house, but he meant for it to be a surprise, okay? So, I'm sorry, it is her daughter that wanted to be a surprise for him at the birthday party, okay? So her daughter has to tell everybody that the dog is sick. The dog that he loves, that he likes, is sick. Okay? To tell David, hey, the dog is sick. You must come over here. Okay? And so David can't. Oh, can I tell you the name? You don't know who this is. And see, that's how careless speech could become. But it's a good friend of mine. And so we went out there, and so she said a white lie. She said, you know, your dog is sick, and you need to come over and take a look at it. But it's for the purpose of getting him over here for a surprise party. But even that is really nothing bad on this particular example. But I'm more talking about other examples. My wife is looking at me, and I know she's disagreeing on that. I cannot think of an example better to illustrate the white lies. White lies is something that you tell that is against the truth, but you thought you are telling it because of a good intention. Right. And it is usually from the wrongful purpose. Okay. The example that I gave it to you is a rightful purpose. And I don't know if I should categorize it as a white light or not. Really, I shouldn't. You know, it's meant to be a surprise. But the white lies is just something that people say in order to get what they want, and yet they thought, oh, this is out of good intention, I'm doing it for goodwill, so I'm telling this lie, but I consider it a white lie. I'm not really lying at all. But it is a lie, like King said. A lie is lie, it's against the fact. Good question. Thank you. Perhaps others have other questions. I know. There are so many, and I tell you this, as you read this book, and you allow these questions to set in your mind, and you pray, and you say, God, perhaps I've been involved in more of this than I could have been in this, or others could have been involved in this. But let me conclude this with the time being drawing to the towards the time of the end of the service. But let me tell you this. God created the language. God created all kinds of languages for us to speak. But His purpose is for us to communicate, for us to praise Him, to glorify Him, to share the good news, to tell the people about Jesus. God never intended for the language to be hurtful, to be coming into the way of relationship, to be destroying an individual. You think the word won't destroy people? In Chinese language, it's called 人言可畏啊, huh? Meaning the word of language is very fearful because it can indeed kill people. In many times in Chinese society, there are people that committed suicide because someone else said something against them. 你们没听说过吗? Huh? 有人就是因为别人讲他们的闲话坏话自己的自杀了嘛跳楼自杀散掉的什么东西都有的事 But what I'm saying is this the word, what we speak is so very important. Sometimes we don't take serious consideration of what came out from our mouth. And the Bible also in other places very clearly, what is dirty is not what goes into our mouth. What is really what comes out of our mouth. And like I said in the initial introduction, the reason that it comes out from our mouth are foul because of the heart conditions that we are in. It isn't so much that we sometimes, out of our choice, we want to speak something to hurt the people. But is our relationship with Christ right? Is our relationship with Christ such that our life is always full of joys and peace, and when everyone we go to and we speak things, we naturally flow out the Spirit of Christ? That's what we are after. That's what we are talking about in this whole speech. I have no intention to point any person's finger and say, you were involved in slang, you were involved in the, you know, off-color jokes or whatever. This is not the purpose. The purpose is to say, these are some of the things we've got to take serious consideration over. We can't speak things carelessly. And the reason we cannot is we are children of God. We can't behave like everybody in the world. We've got to behave in ways that really honors God, that shows the heart condition of a relationship between us and Christ, which is what sets you apart from this world. And so the category on the sins of speech is so serious, so important that we must take a stand on and make a decision. Say, God, thank you. Because of this circumstance, because all the things that I may not disagree and may not agree or may not be happy or may be happy or may be satisfied, may be dissatisfied, whatever the circumstances, God says, give thanks in all circumstances and live a life full of abundance and experience joys and peace as we live in a relationship with God in such a way that honors Him. And the word and the purpose of the speech, like I said as I go back, is for the purpose of sharing the Word of God. Some people will not know about Jesus Christ until we share with them in words. That's the real purpose for our words, for our speech. Many of people that came to our Friday night fellowship never heard about who Christ is. And it is time for us to open our mouth and share with them who Christ is. We can't be saying, I do this by my action, when even at times our actions will fall short of the glory of God and fall short of the things that God would command us to do. But let's suppose that your actions are so perfect, that your life behavior is so perfect, that you think by me standing here people will come to know the Lord. What kind of pride that would be? And more than that, let's think about Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, who sacrificed our sins, who came to this world and demonstrated miracles and actions and things that speak to the world with his authority. But did he keep his mouth shut? No. He spoke. Not only he spoke with authority. He spoke with the word of God. We must use the language for the same purpose that Jesus Christ has used. And that today, if some of you in this room do not know who Christ is, I would encourage that you ask, that you would use the language to ask questions, and that the believers will use the words to share who Christ is. But most of us, I know, are believers, but how careless we have grown to become in the word that we speak, in the speech that we use, in the language that we adopted. And certainly, certainly, in the relationship that we have in Christ. Father God, I thank you so much for today and for the teachings that you've given us about your word. And God, you have said that on the day of judgment, every man, all of us, will come before you and give an account for every careless word that we have spoken. And how much we have fallen short of the glory of you. How much we have fallen short of the commandments that you have given us as Christians to live. And certainly how much we have departed from your truth as a society, of not taking serious considerations on the importance of speech. We come before you with genuine hearts of repentance and seeking your forgiveness. And I pray, O Lord, that you would cause us to come before you and just tell you how sorry we are for what we have spoken that may have hurt someone, that may have destroyed certain relationships, that may have come into effect into our lives, may have caused us to become distant from you. And I pray and ask that, Lord, you forgive us of all this, and ask that, Lord, you come into our lives, lead and guide us in every step of our way, in every speech that we use, every word that we adopt. Oh, I thank you. And I ask, Lord, that you would just bless us and that you cause us to come close and grow close in our relationship with you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.